enjoy this time. Please, would you help me to explain the message of this carol as we look at this passage of scripture? Amen. Have you ever been doing things in a hurry on Christmas Eve? Maybe that's the last minute dash to the shops for that forgotten present. Perhaps it's suddenly realizing that you've run out of sprouts and you need to get to Sainsbury's pretty pronto. Well, just over 200 years ago, on Christmas Eve, 1818, in a place called Oberndorf, Austria, Josef Müller and Franz Gruber were in a big rush. The church organ had broken, which meant they needed a new song to sing on Christmas Day, the very next day. Well, the last minute combination of Moore's words and Gruber's guitar music produced the carol, Silent Night, the carol we've just sung. It was sung the very next day and has gained huge popularity ever since. Well, the carol may have been written in a hurry, but it teaches us two amazing truths that come straight from the Bible, truths that we mustn't hurry over. This is the birth by natural means of a supernatural baby. Even as he lies there with his mother, he is Lord and Savior. You see, to understand Christmas, we need to realize that Jesus came as Lord and Savior. And that is mind-blowing. And I hope to show you why as we look at both this carol and the passage of scripture it comes from. So hopefully behind me on the screen will be the verse that we're going to focus on. It came from the reading we had just before, from Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. This is what it says. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the first key truth that we see in that verse and in the carol we've just sung is Jesus is Lord. It came in that in the third verse that we sang, and it's one that the Bible consistently speaks of. Now, what does that word Lord make you think about? Maybe it's Lord of the Manor, could be somebody in the House of Lords. Well, these terms may convey something of significance and authority and status, but the word Lord in the Bible is far bigger than that. You see, that word tells us that Jesus is mighty God. He is God. Remember that from the reading in Isaiah we had before? All those descriptions of this baby that's going to be born. He is God. He is God come to earth. Not a Lord, but the Lord. It also tells us that he is king. Remember we saw in the Isaiah reading again? He will reign on David's throne. The Bible says that Jesus is creator and sustainer of the world. He's in charge now, and a day will come when that is clear to everyone. So Jesus being Lord means he is both God and he's king. And all this was true at his birth. You see, we mustn't let this talk of silence and heavenly peace make us view Jesus as a cute baby. He was Lord and Savior at his birth. He's fully God in human form. Have you ever watched the TV show The Apprentice? Now, in that show, they repeatedly refer to Alan Sugar as Lord Sugar. Lord Sugar will see you now, is often the way it's put. But that title is repeated so many times in the show that I think it loses significance. And certainly doesn't have any relevance to us as we watch it from a distance. But if Jesus is Lord, if what this verse tells us is true, then that is the most significant title we could have. We're being called to believe that he's not just a good teacher or a miracle worker. He is the all-powerful one. There's no more significant Lord than that. Now, Jesus being Lord is amazing, but it leaves us with a problem. And it's a problem we see answered in the second part of that Bible verse, and also the second main thing that Silent Night, the carol, teaches us. And that is, Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Savior. How did verse 2 of that carol end? Do you remember? Christ the Savior is born. If the Lord is who Jesus is, Savior is what he does. Well, who needs saving? It's those who are in trouble, isn't it? Those who are in danger. Jesus is Savior because we need saving. And he saves by the cross. The problem is that we have rejected God. That's what the Bible calls sin. We've literally put our hand in God's face and said, no, not following you. We've turned our backs on him and have chosen to live our own way. But yet God is totally holy, totally righteous, totally good, and he can't just ignore this problem we face. His solution is the cross. Jesus had to die so that we could be rescued. That's how he's the Savior. He had to die so that we could be rescued. It was the only way the problem of our sin, our rebellion, could be resolved. And it's proven by his resurrection. That's what we see in our verse again. We believe that God raised him from the dead. That's what we're called to believe. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Savior. And also, it shows that he's a living Savior. He has risen. He's alive today. So Jesus saves by the cross, and he saves those who believe. Now, we might like to think that we can save ourselves. You know, we're quite good, aren't we, really? But the Bible says that the gulf between us and God is just too great. We cannot get across that gulf. You see, verse 9 doesn't say, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and lead the best life you can, you'll be saved. We might like it to say that. It might appeal to our pride. But no, we need to declare that Jesus is Lord. We need to believe in him. A savior is only good news if we're in danger. You see, you don't send a lifeboat to rescue a sailing boat that's happily going on in calm water. That'd be really strange, wouldn't it? Jesus is a savior because we need saving. That's why he's described in that way. We need saving. How many of us would love that heavenly peace that the carol Silent Night speaks about? It seems a pretty remote prospect, doesn't it, right now, with so many wars going on? It may even seem a remote prospect in our own families. Yet what is on offer in this amazing Bible verse is peace with God. Being saved means we are no longer God's enemies. We can have peace with him. Silent Night, this amazing carol, helps us to see two great truths about Jesus. But that passage that we've looked at from Romans 10 also has a great challenge for us. And the challenge is this: will you believe and be saved? You see, the Christian message has always been, if you declare and believe, there's nothing automatic here. We need to respond. Savior and Lord are not just nice concepts. If Jesus is truly Lord, we need to acknowledge this and turn to him. To declare is to say it and mean it, rather than just mutter under our breath. And it's guaranteed that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But we must call. And if that's something you have not yet done, I'd love to chat with you after the service tonight. please do take a free copy of, we've got some Mark's Gospels to give away, which will explain more about who Jesus is and what he said and what he did. Please do take one of these away if you'd like this evening. If a sailor really was in danger of drowning, it would be mad for him to say to the lifeboat, well, don't worry about me, I'll be fine. If we see that we need rescuing, how can we not take up the offer of Jesus? So to understand Christmas, we need to see that Jesus came as both Savior and Lord. It's the message that rings out clearly from this great carol, Silent Night, a message taken straight from the words of the Bible. What do you make of that message? Those two men back 200 years ago, Moore and Gruber, can scarcely have realized how influential their carol would be, how popular it would become. Let's enjoy singing great carols like this as we celebrate Christmas. But let's not hurry over the amazing message. Will you declare that Jesus is Lord and be saved by believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead? I'm just going to close with a prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are both Lord and Savior. As we celebrate Christmas this year, help us to believe in you. Amen.